Blog Talk Radio. Reach the Sprint voicemail box of 804-835-7.
Everyone, good evening. Welcome to the No Romance Without Finance show. So glad to have you with us this evening. My name is Vernon Muhammad. I am one half of the co-hosting team. My brother Kamos Muhammad is on his way, I believe, to the mic. We just finished a marathon business sales and marketing boot camp. So neither one of our brains are working at 100% capacity at this moment, but it's going to be all right because we are on the move and we are making it happen. We got something good in store for you today. Today's show, which really is in theme with this whole weekend, all the activities from this weekend, is called Making the Great Escape from the Rat Race. Here on No Romance Without Finance Radio, this show, the main focus, even though it sounds like we're going to be talking about romance and relationships and whatnot, it's really not that. It's more about taking care of business, handling your finances and economics so that you can get to the romance and the things that you would really enjoy and like to take part of in life. But we know that unless you take care of business, you really can't get to the fun stuff. So I was having some interesting conversations over the last couple of days, and this show came to birth because I met so many people who want to be free, who want to get themselves out of the rat race, who want to make a better life for themselves, and who want to have more control of their own financial future and economic outlook, but they are either trapped in the rat race without a plan on how to get out, or they are willing to try anything and everything to get out of the rat race, but they need a plan to get out. So there are people who are trapped and don't want to get out. You know, they're scared to do anything. And then there are people who want to do something, they want to get out, but they just don't know what the right thing to do and what the right way to go about it is. So I invited some people into the conversation because they have some experiences to share. In a couple of minutes, the whole world is going to shake. We're going to get some visitors at my home. I think my children are getting ready to crash my house, so I'm on the lookout. Y'all hear some rowdiness and a whole bunch of noise in the background. That's just Daddy making it do what it do. But also, on the line with us, I know we have a couple of different people. I see the lines are lit up. We have so many people who have already called in. I'm looking for one of my guests, who is Sister Lois Long. Are you on the line, Sister Lois?
Yes, sir. Peace, Brother Ben.
Peace and blessings right back at you. So glad you can make it tonight, my sister.
Yes, sir.
All right, good stuff. I am also trying to connect with Brother Yusuf Salam. I'm going to introduce you in a minute, Sister Lois, but I've got to use the extra portion of my brain now to talk with you while I dial Brother Yusuf's number. This is going to be interesting here. No telling what's going to come out my mouth. Let's see. Brother Yusuf, I'm about to bring you in. I know you're listening. He just sent me a message, said, I'm sitting by the phone waiting for you to call me, brother. So I got to hurry up and call him so he don't talk bad about me, all right? Hold on 1 second. Let's get good Brother Yusuf in here. How's your day going, Sister Lois?
It's going fine. It's going well.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam, Brother Yusuf. How you feeling, brother?
Fine, sir.
All right. We got three the hard way here. We got Sister Lois from Richmond, Virginia on the line, Brother Yusuf from New York, and I'm sitting right in the middle in Columbia, Maryland. To Sister Lois, say what's up and give Brother Yusuf a greeting.
Okay. Peace, Brother Yusuf.
As-salamu alaykum, sister.
As-salamu alaykum.
All right, Brother Yusuf. Let's do this. I don't know if you were listening as I was, bringing in the show, or were you able to hear me at all?
Yeah, I heard you.
Okay. So you know the deal. This is Escape from the Rat Race Day. We want to try to lay out, we want to try to share some experiences, give people some insight into what it takes to escape the rat race. Because when we talk about no romance without finance, you know, the goal and the crux of it is to just put the focus on how serious it is to take care of our economic picture, to take care of our economic strategies so that we can change the reality that we're living under, you know, make life what we really want it to be as opposed to the drudgery of the rat race where you got to get up probably earlier than you want to. You got to go somewhere that you probably don't want to go to do stuff that you probably don't want to do. 9 times out of 10, you're hanging around people that you really don't want to be around. That's the rat race. That's no fun. So most people say, if I could do something else, I would do something else. If I could do anything that I liked or do what my soul really yearns for, I wouldn't be doing this. So why not leave the rat race? Why not just up and make your move? What's your take on that, Brother Yusuf?
Well, by the grace of God, I was fortunate to start my own business, which is a clothing business I just started. But I've actually been planning it for a few years. I was working at a school at first, and I was working at a pharmacy, and in the rat race, and it was an experience. People were very rude, to say the least. Wouldn't suggest retail at all. And anyway, so I developed during that time a very large portfolio of work and got a lot of time to plan out what I was going to do with my business. And so I went to work for about 3 years. It was steady, you know. I didn't think it was going to... I had the intent to have the business, but when I actually started it, I have now an entire portfolio. But I planned it out, and I would suggest anyone who's seriously interested in getting out of the rat race, which I think is maybe taken from the book, Robert Kiyosaki's book. I would definitely read those books by Robert Kiyosaki. I would also read the book Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill. And I would also read Gaddafi's Green Book, because all those books open your mind up onto how to get out of the rat race, why you should get out of the rat race. And fortunately, I had a father who had those books around me at a young age. So it was just like the teachings of Islam were around me at a young age. So it was all of this financial books. That would be my intake. Hello?
Yes, sir.
Can you still hear me?
Yes, sir. Brother Vernon?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, y'all. I'm so sorry. Like I said, the cavalry arrived, and they arrived with a whole bang, too. So I had to put things on mute. You know, I think I got it kind of stable and quiet now, so we'll see how things go. But I did hear you, Brother Youssef. What I wanted to ask you, you said how long was it that you were in that planning phase before you actually, you know, made your move?
It was about 3 years.
3 years. That's something. So a lot of the people who are frustrated now and who may want to, you know, be at the end of their rope and ready to make that leap, there's actually quite a bit of bridge, I guess, that needs to be put in place before you make that leap, you would say, right?
Yes, sir.
Now, what were you doing before that 3 year period?
Well, at first, I was just going to school. Then I got a job at a school tutoring children. Then I got fired from that job. and then I was working at a pharmacy. Actually, when I got fired from my first job, that's when I started to design all these graphics for my business. It was fun. I stayed up late at night just designing. Didn't even realize I was building a very, very large portfolio for the time now. But that's what I was doing. I was basically just thinking about businesses and reading articles, reading books, and hating working for other people.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, in a little bit, we're going to set up, because I geared the show, and I put out in the description that there are five vital components to escaping the rat race. There are five things that absolutely positively need to be in place before anybody makes their move, or if they're going to successfully make that move. So we're going to get into that in a little while. But first, I want to bring Sister Lois into the conversation. My good sister, you there?
Yes, sir, I am.
How you feeling?
I'm good.
Right.
I'm trying to calm down and relax.
All right. Yeah, I had to tell Brother Youssef. I had to tell Sister Lois that the show is not being recorded, so you know we won't tell her that it is. And I also had to tell her that, what were you concerned about?
You talking about me?
Yeah, I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you, sister.
Well, I'm not going to tell the nation my faults, but yeah, I'm okay now. I'm cool.
All right, good stuff. Now tell me your story. You said, I'm not going to tell it for you. Tell me your story. What's the deal with you? What's your experience with business and with the rat race?
Well, you know, this is my take on that part. You know, you don't want them to assume that being in business, you're still not going to be in a rat race. But is a difference in somebody else controlling where you're going to be if you're late you get fired, you know, if your child is sick, you can't get off, or whether your paycheck, you're living from paycheck to paycheck versus you owning your own business and you're worried about hiring another person or whether this project's going to be complete. So you're still going to have your trials and tribulations. It's just going to be on a different level, dealing with different things. And I think that being self-employed and in control is you have better trials and tribulations than you do worried about how you're going to pay your next bill, find another job, or, you know, your boss picking on you. You don't like your coworkers, and especially us. You're trying to live righteous, just dealing with people that you would, you know, like you said, not associate with any other time. So, you know, when you're on your own business, you can pick the people that you want to deal with. You can pick how you want to do business because you're in total control.
Now, let me ask you this. Actually, I got a two-part question. I got two questions. One deals with the fact that a lot of people, I guess, from inside the rat race, you know, the cheese that's being used to tempt people is how maybe you can, you know, start your own thing and you'll never have to work hard again, or you can set your own hours and be your own boss, and oh, life will be so great after that. But it's really not a fairy tale, right? There ain't nothing about standing on your own two feet a cakewalk. Is that correct in thinking it that way, or?
Yeah, well, you know, anything is in perspective. You know, you can be anxious about it. Like at one point when I was doing anything, I was always anxious. And now I've learned how to relax. I still get the same stuff done or not done. You know, sometimes things don't happen the way you planned them to happen. But you don't have to have the anxiety with it because, you know, everything's going to, if you keep pushing and working on, you know, your dream, then it's going to happen regardless. A lot of times we think, you know, like when I planned my business, when I got into the biofuel, I was thinking by the next year that I was going to have this business started. Now, that was 15 years ago. Not saying that it'll never happen. I might be 80 still trying to start a biofuel company. But my point being is your goal can stay the same. Sometimes your plans to your goals change just because of circumstances. You're not realizing that SBA going to tell you you need this, you need that, and that's stuff that you didn't write in your business plan because you never expected it. So you can't give up too soon. You know, you have to just realize that it is not going to happen like you planned it to happen. Keep on, especially if it's your dream. If it's your dream, what else would you do besides, like you said, stay in a rat race and be frustrated? You know, you're going to be frustrated anyway is basically what I'm trying to say.
So you can be frustrated because somebody else is standing over top of you and controlling and dictating the difficulty that you're going through, and you really have no recourse about it. Or you can just brave the wild, brave the rapids, and really set your own pace, set your own tone. It's going to be difficult either way, so if it's going to be difficult, why not face the difficulty with full and complete freedom?
Yes, sir. I'll put it in the perspective of this. You know, we've been working for free, really, for over 400 years and with no benefit. So if we use that same mindset we've been doing, building America for 400 years and work for ourselves for free, you know, when you start your own business, chances are you're going to be putting in your own money, you're going to be putting in your own time, and you won't forget getting a paycheck. So you can do that same thing for yourself, just as we've been doing. So, you know, really, I don't see as no, it is a difference, it's a big difference, but I don't see in the trials and tribulations being different. But, you know, you like I said, you know, your main goal is to have financial or personal freedom, you know, and that comes first. When in entrepreneurship, that's what you're thinking about more so than I'm going to be rich. You're not thinking, I'm going to be a millionaire, I'm going to be a millionaire. You really focused on your freedom, and that gives you your risk, your wealth.
And maintaining that freedom.
Yes, yes, sir, maintaining it at all costs because, you know, everything's not going to be rosy all the time, you know, and then you have to realize you have to let other people know. You can't really worry about other people's perception of what's going on, because they're going to say, well, you failed. Well, no, I haven't failed yet. I'm having a bad year, and it's not over. You have to realize that, you know, sometimes you have to keep people out of your business. And if they're not doing anything for you as far as being a client or helping you, then, you know, there's no need to be associated with them or their negativity, you know.
Good stuff, good stuff. All right, let's do this. We are coming up on a break. Let's take this break. Give me a chance to prepare and really get deeper into the conversation, because we have a little bit more time left. We're not going to do the whole hour and a half long show. It's only going to be a half an hour, not a half an hour, an hour long show. So we're going to wrap up the second half hour and with some heavy hitting stuff. So give me 1 second, and we will be right back. Show. I have two people from the entrepreneurial world with us as my guest today. We have Sister Lois, who's calling from Richmond, Virginia. She's been an entrepreneur just about all her life. Oh, hold on. My daughter's giving me her fishes. Finish my line. Thank you. All righty. Thank you. Sister Lois has been an entrepreneur all her life. And we also have from New York, Brother Youssef. Brother Youssef, tell me a little bit about what you would advise someone who is looking to make the transition from the rat race. What would you, other than, you know, the general make a plan, what would you look at as the first steps? What do you think are the most vital components that people need to either do or have in place so that they can successfully escape the rat race?
All right. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you fine.
Well, I'll tell you what I did, and I think I perceive would be a good idea for anyone starting. If you want to know what it takes to actually be in business by yourself, so I had no idea, so I read up on people who started their own businesses. I did research on, at first I wanted to do real estate. That's why I got into books like Robert Kiyosaki's book. I was looking into Donald Trump and a few other people. So I studied the lives of about a handful of people who started their own businesses. McDonald's guy, I forget his name now, but I looked at how he started McDonald's. I would think the first thing that anyone would want to do is look at how other people did it, look at their successes and their failures. That's really the first bit of advice that I would just offer. Just read about how what it takes to do it, just so you can get a background. And also, I went to I had a mentorship. It wasn't for business, but it was along the lines of what I wanted to do, which was architecture. And that also, I think, is a good idea, is to get involved in mentorships with people who are in your field of endeavor. And, of course, have an idea what you want to do, of course. What do you want to sell? Who do you want to sell to?
Gotcha. Right. All right. Now, Sister Lois, you said something that really caught my ear. I kind of glossed over me for a minute. But it's not something that people think of on the regular when they talk about going into business for themselves. You said something about biofuel.
But, yeah, alternative fuels. Yeah, yes. It's like I call it one of the recession-proof businesses. You know, it's one of them. And it's a sustainable business. And, you know, us as African Americans, blacks, whatever you call yourself, can get in on that on the ground floor because it hasn't hit the mainstream. Matter of fact, they're fighting it, you know, the BPs and all the petrol oil places. That's why the war is still going on. They want to keep their money, but up underneath, the sustainable fuels are growing. But like I think that's one of the things that we as people need to start becoming interested in, or at least learning about, because you know it's wide open for us in that field. You know that agriculture, farming, you know, land, that stuff is open for us right now, as far as entrepreneurship is concerned.
Now, how do you even begin to make an entrance into a field like that?
Well, I started because someone hired my company to train in transportation. And when we went to a conference, the biofuels, the alternative fuels, people come to speak at the conference. And then I had gotten interested in it, started learning about it, and said, oh, okay, wait a minute. You know, you can make this stuff in your backyard. Hold up. I know a lot of people with backyards, and so my entrepreneurship started kicking in, and that now I've gotten to the point where, you know, it was a couple times that the door should have been open for something like this to come in, and when Obama came in office, he was supposed to have been helping more of the alternative fuels, trying to help get us off of gas, crude oil. But what he did, it didn't really help as much as it hurted the industry. So I was waiting for him to get in so I can do what I had to do, and that never happened. You know, it could still happen. The company could still happen, but not the way I thought it was going to happen.
Gotcha. Okay. Now, I asked Brother Youssef, let me ask you the same question. What do you think is... What do you think is the top vital component that one would need to have in place if they're looking to make that transition from the rat race to standing on their own?
Are you asking me? I think you just asked
me. I'm asking
him
you.
That.
I
are
asked Brother Youssef, but I'm asking you now.
Oh, yes, sir. I think creating a life plan before you create your business plan. And the reason I say starting with your personal life is because your current situation will determine how you're going to write your business plan or what you're going to do, how you're going to do it. You know, you're not going to try to sell snow to Eskimos. You're not going to try to, you know, that is one of those type things. So you have to look at where you are, what will sell in your area, and all that will have a lot to do with it. And not only that, you can have two people trying to start the same business. One person has $100,000 in the idea, and you just have an idea. Your business plan is going to look different. So that's why I said you have to start with yourself first, then your plan. So then when you take it out there to your investors or the bank or whoever else is going to try to invest money into this, they will say, well, this is obtainable. I can see. I want to invest because I believe. So, you know, your personal plan, to me, makes the biggest difference, you know, before you start writing a business plan so you can open your business.
That's good. All right. Say that again.
I was thinking, I was hoping that wasn't off the subject because I think you told him not to go back that far.
No. You were right on point. I wanted to get your perspective on that question. And that's interesting. I was making this list of the five vital components earlier today, and I started with making sure that you secure yourself. Okay. One thing that Brother Youssef said that really caught my ear was that he took 3 years to get himself to where he needed to be before he was ready to make his move. And I know I've heard of many stories of people who made their move too soon. They didn't really, really think it through before they just took that leap. I'm not going to say a leap of faith. They just took a leap of ignoring reality. And, you know, you find yourself 2 months later or, you know, half a year later, your lights may be cut off or whatever the case may be, all because you didn't take the time for what I really think is one of the most important steps, securing yourself right in the here and now. What do you need to make sure is absolutely in place this week, at the end of this month, next month, when you know the rent is due? People kind of get a short-sighted approach to making their move, to stepping out there, to making a great escape. And unless you really, you know, put the right pieces in place, unless you really prepare, put an emergency savings fund in place. Imagine if you had to get out of town by sundown. You don't even have $1,000 put to the side. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, I think because what happens is when we get excited about an idea, and when we visualize that idea, we visualize it in the success stage. You forget about the process. Everything's a process. I don't care what you're doing, whether you're trying to be president, whether you're trying to open your own business, whether you're trying to get to college. Everything is a process. And you know, one thing is, you know, when you come into something, you don't know the process. You only learn it doing it. So, you know, if you visualize a success and it don't happen next week, you quit. You know, like you said, you hit a bump in the road or the lights get turned off. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, I don't admire him as much, but what's the guy, the brother that does the plays and he portrays black people. He has a big name. I'm embarrassed that I can't remember it. Tyler Perry. You know, what he did made him homeless. I don't think he's homeless because his mom was still alive. As long as you got a mama, you're never homeless. But, you know, the point he was making is he put everything into it before he got to the point where he is now. You know, and if it's your dream, you will sacrifice like that. You know, and you know, sometimes things happen. Sometimes you don't hire on a horse. I remember a point in time where I didn't have to think about the money I spent. You know, but now I do. I think about every penny of it. You know, but that don't mean you fail. You just got to keep on going through your mistakes. What would you say your failures? Failure to me don't seem like a bad word, because the more you fail, the more you realize what not to do, the closer you are to success. You know, so, you know, I don't, sometimes you can look at failure as just the journey to success.
Mm-hmm.
And not really a failure in his own, unless you stop there. If you feel like you fail and you're in your mind it was a failure and you quit, then you can call it failure. But if you keep on going, you didn't fail. You just learned a lesson.
Can I also add one thing?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
We also have to cut ties from, since we're in the day of separation, you also do definitely, when you start your own business, have to cut ties with many people. And you'll see that many people do begin to come out of the woodwork.
Now you bring up something interesting. Why are you saying you have to cut ties?
Well, these people, I'll say from my own experience, they're leeches, and they're going to, if they can't do it, they will see that you don't do it.
Yeah.
I've had, before I came into the Nation, I was so-called friends with one gentleman who I cut ties with for almost 2 years now. And it's just a terrible relationship, for friendship, you could say. And all of a sudden, this person thinks that we're friends again, because I guess he got the notion that I can help him in a way that he can't help himself.
So he's looking for what he can get from you.
Exactly.
As opposed to how he can contribute to what you're
exactly.
doing and where you're headed.
Yes, a lot of people can be more of a liability than an asset, you know. And when you're in business, you know, the only thing you have to worry the people that say, I thought you said you were going to do this. I mean, the people that were in with me in the beginning of the biofuse thing, you know, a lot of them fell off, a lot of them saying, I'm still waiting.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, when people are that close to you, they judge you on a daily basis when the journey is way longer than a day or a week or a month. And, you know, it took that brother Youssef 3 years, you know, like I said, it's been 15 years dealing with the biofuse, and we're still waiting for them to refine the algae and do whatever, you know, the technical stuff, but, you know, doing things that other people can't see or don't understand. A lot of times people think because they can't do it, you can't do it. They can't even conceive it. They can't even perceive it. You know, it's not even – so people that are not business-minded, you definitely want to stay away from. You know, and sometimes it's your family. My family, even though my mother and father helped me as an entrepreneur at a young age, they have been my worst critics now, you know, and because they're scared, they want to protect me. And I understand that because they love me and whatever, but they are not supporting me, and it's my parents. So sometimes it's the people closest to you, the people that love you, who love you the most, or you love them the most. You just, when it comes to business, you just got to block negativity out, because you can do anything you want to do, honestly. You can really do anything you want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, let me ask you this, because you, in our last conversation that we had, you were telling me that there's a particular unique challenge that women have to face when they're talking about doing business or stepping out there on their own. Why don't you share with us a little bit about what you were saying then?
Yeah, because, you know, and I've seen the statistics of 75% black women own businesses, you know, way higher. I can't even remember the percentage for men. I think it was 18%. Men becoming entrepreneurs, and it makes me think about the situations that I've seen a lot of my sisters, my black sisters, go through when a man will when they come to a person for business, and the man is looking for something else. And I don't really know how to say what I'm trying to say, but they're hitting on you, or they really, you know. So sometimes you might come to them and you're talking to them about business, and their whole time in their mind they think about how they can get in the bed with you. So they're telling you what you want to hear. You know, some sisters will fall victim to that, you know, and they'll fall victim to it, and the guy really couldn't come through with like he said he would because all business deals don't happen. You know, I'm not saying that they won't happen. I'm just saying every person that you talk to is not going to be a business partner or help or invest or get you or a good network. But a lot of times, you know, sisters would leak their way to the top, and then they're in good in the company or doing what they're doing, and then as soon as the man get mad at them or find someone else that they think is better than them, then that person's out the door. But if a sister stands strong on the fact that she'll work for food, if she's good at what she does, then she don't have to sleep with anybody to get that position, to get that client, to get anything, you know. And that's the slogan that I had come up with, that one was, if you sleep your way to the top, you'll end up on the bottom. I haven't seen any sister that did it that way succeed.
There's always some catch to that equation, right? Can't think that you're going to take the back door, or, you know, I guess I can't think of a better term to use.
Yeah, when you're getting
that
position, you're still going to have to show and prove, because that person that put you there because y'all laid up together is not going to be the only one you have to impress. You know,
right.
Everybody's going to see or know that you must have slept with somebody to get there, because you really, like I said, have to show and prove. You got to be able to do what you do and know your stuff in order to keep it.
Now, how do you circumvent, as a woman who's trying to step out into that arena, you know, and do business, how do you short circuit or overcome the advances of men who are thinking on that level, or even, you know, women that are thinking on that level? Sometimes you're trying to, you know, you think you're in a safe place and you're trying to do business, and you run into another woman who's thinking pretty much the same way the man is thinking. How do you short circuit and overcome that so that you can still get what you need to get out of the deal or out of the transaction?
Okay. Well, if both of them think that that's what they want to do, then let them sleeping dogs lie. But I think if a sister wants to do something and the man is approaching her the wrong way, you know, most of the time I'll try to be nice and cordial. I said, let's make this million first and we talk about all that. So really, until you made your million, you can't talk to me about it. And most of the time they appreciate that. They might grin and then keep on talking, or they'll turn away and stop doing business with you. And I can't be mad at them because I didn't want to give them what they wanted in the first place. But it kind of it strains out all of the wrong thinking when you go ahead and know that you got money. And, you know, I like I said, in another, but probably, you know, in the nation, you can go through the husband, and a lot of times a brother or somebody, a male, whether they're in the nation or not, won't disrespect you if they know a man's presence. So, but if you're a sister and you by yourself in my situation, you know, it makes you hard. You know, I know that I've seen, you know, I've been called every name in the bitch. In the book, I just remember saying the name. I've been called every name in the book, you know, by being the way I am. But I don't mind. I'm not, you know, it's not worth compromising myself for it. You know, I don't think whatever deal they were going to give me would be greater than me, than my sanity and my sacredness.
Right. Certainly not worth compromising who you are and what you're really about.
Yeah, I will never be that broke or poor.
gotcha.
You know, and in this situation, that's what scares me and what caused me to try to prepare things for my daughter. It is that, because, you know, when I first started, you know, not having as much money as I had before, people come up with to me with offers, you know, $5,000, $6,000, and then, you know, when somebody would have said that before, I would have, you know, cussed them out and turned around. Well, when you were needy, and $5,000, $6,000 sound good. So you really, really have to be strong and realize that you as a person is worth way more than gold, silver, and diamonds. You know, your mind has to be on that 24/7. As a matter of fact, I would think about that right before my meeting. I'm important. I'm way more important than whatever it is he can give me. And if he can't give it to me, it's okay, because somebody else will be there, because Allah, God will bless you.
Mm. Good point. Good point. And I'm sure that if you look back on those situations now, you can see that time and time again, you made it through without having to compromise or to go into any go down any dark road that you didn't want to go down. And that should be encouragement to any other women that are listening, that in your attempt to, you know, get free, sometimes you have a burning desire to make a better way for yourself and possibly your children or your family. It can be done. It can be done. There are women who stand on integrity and who stand on principle, and they make it. You know, they live and they have stories to tell about successes and failures. Because nobody who's in business or nobody who's trying to make that stand on their own is going to do it without some failures. You learn some of your most valuable lessons from failures. But
You never learn anything when all is going perfect. You never learn anything. You're just doing it.
That's right.
Until you have a problem, or what you call a problem or a situation, then that's when the learning comes. That's when, you know, you really, and you know, with all the research and all the theory, if you went to college for business, you know, a lot of that don't teach you. Experience is the best teacher.
Mm. I like that. Good point. All right, we're going to wrap it up in a little bit, because I want to give you all these five, what I call the five vital components. I put a lot of thought into these, and I'm quite proud of myself for coming up with this. But before I do that, Brother Yusuf, let me ask you one more question. Actually, you know what? Sister Lois, one last thought that I had on what you were just saying in the scenario that we I made sure that we had a chance to raise up is, number one, I wanted women to hear it, because when we talk about getting out of the rat race, it's important to know, you know, what you're trying to escape from. It's important to know what you're aiming to run to or to go to, but it's also important to know that there are pitfalls and there are traps along the way. And a big part of successfully making that transition is being aware, number one, that there are, you know, hazards and dangers that you have to avoid and navigate, and also how to avoid them and navigate them. So I wanted the women to hear that story, because any time that type of intention can be encouraged, we definitely need more of that. We need more entrepreneurial spirit amongst ourselves. And personally, I want to see more women who are engaging in and going into and at least being brave enough and courageous enough to do what's necessary to establish themselves in business. We need more fair dealing people, more good, sane people in business. And you know, when you talk about the old boy network and the dog eat dog world, that's something that that warped minded men created. So if decent women who got their minds on right step into the arena, I think that the game will change. So for those of you who may be a little fearful or, you know, kind of worried about how to do that, understand that it is possible. You can't get beyond that. But I also wanted the brothers, men in the community, to hear and understand what goes on, because another aspect of what's needed is men in the community step up and make a way for decent women to succeed. You know, there shouldn't be a reason why you have to go all alone into this dog-eat-dog world and, you know, try to hold your own against men who don't have their mind on right. You know, there should be other right-minded men that are also stepping out in that arena in a serious business-minded nature and making a way for themselves, but also making a way for the women in their community. So I wanted the men in the listening audience to know and understand what's going on and the fact that there is a need that only we can address. So I thank you for coming on. I thank you for sharing that story and participating in this conversation. And I must confess, and I'm ashamed to say we are recording this. I'm sorry. I'm going to listen to it over and over again, and I'm going to tell other people to listen to it too. But, Brother Yusuf, I wanted to ask you real quick before I get into this list of five. You sound like a young man. I've only had a chance to speak to you once. You know, we've chatted back and forth on Facebook, but how old are you?
I'm 21.
21. And,
wow.
Wow, exactly right. If I could go back to 21, you know what I would do?
Yeah.
Good stuff. Now, Brother Yusuf, did you experience any type of discrimination, or have you noticed any additional obstacles that were specifically related to the fact that you are a lot younger than a lot of people in the business world?
Well, actually, I'm anticipating getting that. As of right now, however, can you hear me?
No, I can't hear you at all.
Okay, hold on.
No, I'm kidding. I can hear you fine.
Oh, can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I do that all the time, Brother Yusuf. You got to excuse
me. I'm sorry. So one of the right now, however, I'm actually behind a computer screen, so no one actually sees me. But I am going to have my first face-to-face, I guess, on Tuesday, is it? I think Tuesday. But they're also young. I'm actually looking to do business with a lot of young brothers. And we're going to be discussing how we can collectively gather our resources together to develop the plan even bigger. Because one of the things that my father and I are wanting to do is, I have two friends who live down in Peru. I have two friends that live down in Peru, and I know that we're supposed to get into international trade. So I believe that if we can get my father and I, that is, down there and bring up a lot of products, we can actually develop a lot of employment for the youth in the hood, because I know the minister once, I don't know if it was from China or somewhere in the East, had bought a bunch of shoes to bring back to the community. However, he couldn't get it back here because the enemy was on his tail. But that's one of the things that I'm trying to do, and I'm going to discuss with my first in-person meeting on Tuesday. But I'm definitely anticipating that struggle, being youth, being young, and probably encountering some struggle with that.
Gotcha. All right. When is the last time you heard a 21-year-old talking about international trade? That just blew my mind, bro. I got to tell you, I was my son, who's over here now, my son is six years old. He'll be seven in October. But, from the time that he was a baby, I've always had this vision and this, my personal hope and dream is that he would learn Portuguese and that we would go down to Brazil and establish business among the black people who are in Brazil, after he grows up and becomes after he grows up and is able to make his way in the world. But, I mean, to run into someone who is 21 and that has that mindset, has that drive and that as a goal, it really is inspiring. It's refreshing because I really believe that it's going to take your generation and the ones that are coming after you to lay some serious tracks. There have been a lot of relationships and a lot of doors cracked or maybe open to some degree, but I got a feeling that the people who are going to go down there and really, really make those ties are people like you and people like my son, in another 10 or 15 years. So, brother, hats off to you, standing ovation.
And I'm sorry, you can go ahead, sister.
I want to stop you, brother. The one thing about entrepreneurship is it doesn't have an age limit. You don't have to wait. for entrepreneurship. You know, you might have to wait to be a doctor, to go to college, or finish high school after you turn 60. But with entrepreneurship, you can come out your mother's womb to be an entrepreneur. So, don't wait. Just to wait.
Absolutely right. And on top of that, you're right, it doesn't have an age limit. And really, it's never too late. It's never too late to get started. So all
right.
of you who think as an excuse, I could do this, and if I could, I would. There's nothing stopping you. There's nothing standing in your way from getting started right now. So let me do this. We got a couple more minutes left. We really got about 5 minutes left to this broadcast because the natives are getting restless, as you can hear. I'm going to give you what I came up with as my five. Thank you. That's my daughter, Aaliyah. Say hi, Aaliyah. Say assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum.
Say assalamu alaikum. Assalamu alaikum. That was my son, Rasul.
Assalamu
alaikum, Rasul.
All right. I'm talking about the businesses that you're going to own when you grow up, okay? Is that cool with you?
Yeah,
I know, because I got the earbud in my ear, man. Let me finish talking, okay? I got 5 more minutes, all right? Can you hang on? All right. That's my man right there. All right. The top 5 vital components to making the great escape from the rat race. Number 1, I mentioned it earlier, secure yourself in the here and now. You got to, I hate to sound cliche, but part of your game plan, part of your plan, as Sister Lois said, your life plan, or people say you got to have a business plan, the first step in that has to be secure yourself now. If you don't have an emergency fund, start an emergency fund. You never know what could happen. You could lose your job. You can get furloughed. You can get laid off. As I said, you can have to get out of town before sundown. If you don't have the necessary resources at your disposal so that you can make whatever move you need to make, whether it be to save your life or whether it be to make a vital move in your business, you are only going to set yourself up for a fall if you make a move without the necessary tools. So an emergency fund, a savings, enough money to take care of your recurring expenses for at least a little bit of time. Buy yourself some time so that you can work freely and not have to worry about whether lights are going to get cut off or whether, you know, you're going to have food in the refrigerator.
Yeah.
Some people do get without that, but do yourself a favor and secure yourself in the here and now. The second of the 5 vital components is your game plan. Again, not to sound cliche, but if you don't plan, if you fail to plan, then you plan to fail. You know, you have to take into account everything that could possibly come up as you're trying to move from point A to point B. And if you don't seriously take a look and address those things, you're going to set yourself up for a fall. I knew that I would get here right before the show started. I would need to have the right people on the phone. I knew that my children were going to knock on my door a little bit after a little bit after everything got started, but I put contingencies in place so that they had something that would occupy them and they wouldn't, you know, interfere too much with this. This wouldn't last too long, so I could make sure I interact with them, and everything is covered. You know, you have to make sure that you think 1, 2, maybe 3, 4, 5 steps ahead, but
yes,
get your game plan in order. Never be caught short or with your pants down, you know, for lack of a better term. Number 3 of the vital 5 components to escaping the rat race is your mindset. We talked about fear of failure. Some people have come up with this term. I really don't understand fear of success. I don't really get that one. I think you do that. Fear of success, I can't get that. I don't understand that. Fear of failure, I do understand that, but we can't let that stop us. It has to be, I didn't get it. Take it out there. Fear of failure. The mindset to overcome whatever obstacle stands in your way, or as Sister Lois said, no matter what's presented to you, you're not going to compromise yourself. You're going to withstand and overcome whatever is presented to you. So that mindset is vital, because there have been plenty of other women, Sister Lois, who were propositioned the same way, and they didn't make the same choice that you made. And afterwards, you know, it changed them forever, and they, in some instances, were never able to recover from that. So your mindset, your mind's got to be like a steel trap. It's got to be like iron, and your level of determination has to be such that, you know, you're just not going to let nobody stop you.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Number four, everybody's heard of the term know-how, right? You got to have know-how. You got to have a skill under your belt. There are some people who are starting without know-how. You don't know anything, especially if, you know, the game has changed from what you thought you could do in terms of starting a business for yourself or where the opportunities lie. In many instances, instead of know-how, the most important thing for you to have is learn how.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be willing to pick up a book, as Brother Yusuf said, spend that 3 years, if it's going to be 3 years, however much time it is. You know, learn something that you didn't know before. Most of the opportunities, they don't lie in stuff that you're already familiar with and comfortable with. Most of the opportunities lie in places that you have never really ventured before. That's how you discover an opportunity. You got to look where it's not readily visible. So learn how, as opposed to know how, is about uncovering what might be there in hopes and with the intention of finding the opportunity for yourself.
Yeah.
And number five on the vital five components is having the spirit, okay? Having the will, the determination. That sounds kind of like mindset, but one is mental, okay? You will invariably, you'll get to the point where you reach the limit of what you know or what you can learn or what you have learned. But there's got to be something within you that drives you and motivates you so that when it's, you know, it's 5, 6, 7 in the morning and you know you probably should get up, you know the only way you're going to get everything that you need to get done is if you do get up. That spirit, that internal force and power, has got to be cultivated and amplified and strong enough to get you up when you don't feel like getting up, to help you to do what needs to be done, to go that extra mile when you don't feel like it, okay? Will and determination. Again, not talking about mindset, because, you know, it's more than a mental thing. But it's got to be something that's so strong it makes you endure the pain or the discomfort, or, you know, in the face of fear that, you know, everybody else would cower and, you know, faint over. You just got something that makes you withstand and do it anyway. They say feel the fear and just do it anyway. That's what you got to have inside. So in my estimation, you know, if I had to come up with some of the five most important factors to have, those will be my top five. So I hope that those of you who are listening got something valuable out of this conversation. To Yusuf and to Lois, it was an honor for me to be on with you. It's so difficult trying to pack everything into an hour conversation and keep it moving, and, you know, that's just how it flows. And I told you, when I get on the radio, if I know I'm doing the show, I know that somebody on here is supposed to have a motor mouth, so I will keep on going unless y'all have something to say. But I wanted to thank y'all for being on. Thank you so much, Sister Lord.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you, Yusuf. I appreciate you coming on, bro.
Thank you, Brother Vernon. Thank you for having me on.
All right. Will y'all indulge me and join me again at a later date?
No problem,
yes, sir.
All right. Let me leave everybody in the listening audience with this. Last week we did a show called On the Road to October 14th. For those of you who don't know, there is a grand event. It's going to be the 17th anniversary celebration of the Million Man March, taking place in Charlotte, North Carolina this year on Sunday, October 14th. There will be an address by the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan, and a big celebration of the whole entire Nation of Islam. And the title of the event, the theme of the event, is Muhammad's Economic Blueprint, Ending Poverty and Want. So we're here talking about no romance without finance. We're talking about making sure that we take care of business so that we can get to the other things that we want to enjoy about life. So keep that date on your calendar. If you can make it to Charlotte, North Carolina live, get on the bus. Come on, we'd love to see you down there. Otherwise, tune in to NOI.org and be a part of history. Also, I want to make sure that we give a shout-out to our sponsor, Freedom Paper Company, LLC. For those of you who don't know, there is a black-owned, Muslim-owned company that is producing its own brand of bathroom tissue, facial tissue, paper towels, trash can liners, and a host of other personal paper products and goods and commercial paper products and goods. So let us begin to start doing business with ourselves and looking toward ourselves for all the things that we need. Freedom is what you deserve. So I thank you all for listening. I thank you for joining me this evening on No Romance Without Finance Radio, and we will see you next week. Take care. Peace and blessings. Yeah.